Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, indeed. My name is Kevin Eustace. You are you, and we are about to listen to some spooky and terrifying tales. Because that's the point of the show. We need to talk about ghosts. And yes, we do today. We have a mammoth episode for you today. We have tales of priests doing exorcisms. We have tales of a story from Abby even about, is it just the wind or is there something going on? And we have a fantastic call with Mandy in Missouri. Yes, that's right. Some alliteration right from the get-go. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and life is treating you well and not treating you in the same way that Saxo treats a turkey, which is stuffing here in the UK. I hope that you're all fantastic. What's been going on in our lives, like you all wish to know? Well, not much, if I'm being honest. I've been doing a lot of working from home this week, which is all good. You know, it's nice to have a job and all that gavna. And me and Becca had a little cheese tasting last night to try and, you know, entertain ourselves during lockdown. So we went and bought some random cheeses and then ate them with the tasting notes last night at the table like a pair of weirdos. And it was very middle class and very nice. And I didn't drink. I paired my cheese with Iron Brew, made in Scotland from Gerda's, because it's my new favourite soft drink. Anywho, we have so much to cram into today's episode. I'm going to try and keep this intro bit brief as I can, as brief as a man wearing briefs in a very short time to tame. I have no idea what that accent was, and I apologise for anyone who thinks I was taking the mick out of them. Anywho, should we see what weird things have been going on in the last 7 days? I think we shall. And a big thank you to our wonderful Lucy White, who contributes all the time, and she's amazing. And she sent in this amazing Weekend Weird.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's that wonderful time of the week when we look at what weird and wonderful things have been happening in the world of the paranormal and supernatural over the last 7 days. Now, as I said earlier, this has been sent in by the wonderful Lucy White, our regular Weekend Weird contributor, and she sent in this amazing story, and this story is about a priest who exercises a poltergeist from a psychiatric hospital. Can you imagine anything scarier? I don't think so. And the article says, an NHS hospital has called in a ghost-busting priest to rid offices of a poltergeist after worried staff reported items being moved and appearing. So that's called an apport. Yes, when things appear, it's an apport. Workers in offices at St. Anne's Hospital Old Building in Poole reported to senior bosses they'd experienced several weeks of unexplained activity. It was treated so seriously that the NHS chaplain, Reverend Mike Oates, was brought in to speak to the scared staff. Then, after reporting his findings to hospital management, the decision was taken to hold a Holy Communion service with all of those affected. It proved successful, with the unexplained incidents immediately stopping permanently, the ghost apparently vanishing. Details of the extraordinary paranormal intervention emerged today for the first time following a Freedom of Information Act request to Dorset Healthcare University Hospital. However, both the hospital and Reverend Oates were unavailable for further comment, but did confirm to the newspaper that the service of Holy Communion took place. While it's not strictly being called an exorcism, the idea subscribed to by some is that any type of blessing and prayer can drive away spirits. Vicar Jason Bray, who is known for carrying out exorcisms, has a communion kit within his own ghost-busting equipment and has spoken in the past of his own work vanquishing poltergeists. St. Anne's itself is over 100 years old, having been built in 1909. They've tried their utmost to keep the paranormal incident out of the press up until the Freedom of Information Access request was given. In the report, it states, experienced over several weeks of activity in a multi-occupied office, movements of items, unexplainable items being found. Referrals made to chaplain. Chaplain spent some time in office with staff listening to accounts. It was decided in consultation with hospital management to hold a service of Holy Communion in the office and to invite all those who'd been affected, directly or indirectly. No further experiences have been reported. Isn't that amazing? Utterly fantastic. Through a Freedom of Information request, we have basically documented, reported evidence of a poltergeist and a priest coming in to do a form of exorcism through the Holy Communion. Yes, the Blessed Sacrament. So what do you make of that, guys? I think that's a bloody terrifying, to be honest. And isn't it weird when it's like, oh, this hospital, yes, it's over 100 years old. You automatically go, well, find me some new panties, grandmother, for I'm heading home. brilliant. Thank you, Lucy, for sending that in. And that's been this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And we are back. And as ever, we need to say thank you to our Patreons, because in truth, Patreon is why you're listening to this. It allows the show to continue going. So our Patreons get lots of extra little bits. They get two extra shows each and every week. Every week, I don't know, the lucky baggers. And last week, did we have an interesting one? Because I covered the mystical ghost of Herne the Hunter. Now, if you don't know who Herne the Hunter is, he'd been spotted in the last couple of weeks around Windsor Forest, Windsor Wood even. And when he's spotted, it means there's going to be a death in the royal family. And what happened? All I'm saying is, if you want the scoop on potential tropes of death and banshees, etc., get over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, because we do all the talking there. And today we've got a great little paranormal Sunday for you over at the Patreon. So go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts and support the show and get all the extra stuff too. Just like these two wonderful people have, who go by the name of Hex and Chris Warsmith. Yes. Now, I've been messing with a little grungy, sad tune. So we're going to have a very sort of melancholy thank you Patreon song, and it's sexy though. Get on to this. That's sad, isn't it? Aw. I will say thank you to Hex. How sexy. And also Chris Warsmith. 'Cause without you, there'd simply be no show. And I would probably have to stop random people in the street and talk about ghosts, which, you know, would be bloody awful. So thank you, patrons. End it on a seventh. Couldn't really end that on a seventh. Doesn't really go. But there you go. That melancholy grunge classic is for Hex and Chris Warsmith. If you want to be like those two amazing guys and head over to the Patreon, you get all the extra shows. And like last week, you may even get advanced warning of royal deaths. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we called it. We definitely called it. But yeah, head over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Speaking of which, shall we actually talk about some ghosts? Yes, we shall. And we're back. And our first story today comes in from Abby. And similar to one of our slogans on the show, she asks, was it the wind? Hello.
Hello.
I'm not sure this classes as a story you'd be interested in. I think we will. And my attempt at putting it into words may also not be the best, but here it goes. So this is Abby's story. My nan and granddad's home was a huge part of my childhood, full of love and laughter. I often couldn't wait to spend time there. Unfortunately for me, they only lived 15 minutes from my house, so you'd often find me spending much of my childhood there. Their house was welcoming to anyone, yet I hated certain parts of their house. You wouldn't catch me lingering in the hallway or the staircase for very long. Something just felt off. The room that unofficially became my room, I hated. Despite being painted to my wishes and holding many odd bits and bobs I'd acquired on our days out, you wouldn't find me in there for any longer than needed. I'd feel a real sense of unease and like someone was watching me from the corner. Despite the reassurances from my grandparents, you often find me sleeping on the sofa, and as time went on, they declared defeat and let me put a makeshift bed on their bedroom floor. Might I just add that this continued up till my granddad passed when I was 18. On the weekend he passed, I was actually moving into their house, so from then on I had no choice but to keep my stuff there. But given half the chance, I'd sneak into my nan's bed or remain on the sofa. After discussing this with my mum as I've got older, she explained she felt exactly the same way in that same room. That was her childhood bedroom, and often asked to swap with her sister to the smaller room that then became the office. So even I was out of luck getting that room too. My grandparents weren't really into believing in ghosts or anything like that, despite telling me stories that through the years they'd been woken by footsteps on the landing and staircase that seemed to stop at the bedroom that no one liked. And despite the rest of the house being very welcoming, there were just areas I'd steer clear of. On the day of Nan's passing, I visited Grandad's grave, where I asked him if he could help her. Please let her go when I was there. I lived an hour away and was so worried I wouldn't get the chance to be near her. During the week of her passing, we had been very lucky at keeping her at home, and the hospice had provided some great palliative nurses to help us with her final week. This particular night, the nurse and I had struck up a great conversation, when I suddenly realised it was 3:30 in the morning, and as I had two really young children, it was probably best I go to bed. My youngest, who was only about 4 months old, was in the lounge with me in her baby bed. We could see Nan in the adjoining room, as it just had an open arch between the rooms. I made my youngest a bottle and myself a drink, planning on feeding her upstairs in bed a little earlier than normal feed time in the hope I could get a few more hours undisturbed sleep. I whispered goodnight to Nan and went to pick up the carry cot with my daughter in. At this very moment, she began screaming and tossing her head from side to side. Deciding that I should now just feed her downstairs, I tried to give her the bottle. She kept spitting the teat out, which had you seen her back then, the big round chubby baby she was, you'd have realised she never missed a feed, let alone turned down a bottle that was being offered. During my attempt at calming my daughter, the nurse jumped from her seat, running to my Nan, explaining her breathing had changed. From our conversation previously, I knew this meant one thing, and I raced to wake my mum and sister. Scarlett, my baby, had gone silently back to sleep, which was very unlike her. And we raced to be by Nan, and we were all so grateful to have been there through her passing. I've always felt someone woke Scarlett to keep me downstairs. Had I gone upstairs with her when I first said I would, I certainly wouldn't have been awake, and I doubt someone would have woken me. After Nan's passing, we called the doctor and a very close family friend who stated she would want to be informed. Our friend arrived within minutes, and we all sat, drinking tea, and sharing wonderful memories of our Nan. I will forever enjoy this moment. There was no denying it was sad, but to see her at peace and to think of the wonderful moments we'd all shared with her left us crying tears of sadness mixed with joy knowing we'd had her. I'd felt slight guilt that she'd gone that same night I'd asked, but she hadn't been awake for a few days and I really wanted her to be at peace. As we sat around her bedside, I kept getting these cold chills, which was strange as everyone else said they were warm. It felt like someone was standing with me and would make my hair stand on end. You could visibly see the goosebumps on my arm, and as our friend leant over to place her hand on my arm, she commented she could feel the cold near me. Suddenly, there was a clear knock on the door, a familiar and distinct sound of a ring being tapped on the front door pane of glass. The nurse told us to remain seating and she would get the door. Sure that at 5 in the morning it could be no one but the doctor. She opened the door, yet we heard no voices even after the door was shut. She returned to the room alone, explaining that no one was there, yet all of us heard the knock, including her. Now, I said it sounded familiar, and it was the way Grandad had always knocked on the door. He was notorious for forgetting his keys, so we were all accustomed to the sound of his knuckle and the ring on his finger knocking on the door. After this, there was a new sense of peace. I no longer felt the cold around me. Was this him leaving with Nan and just letting us know he'd been? After this, nothing much happened. Nan was taken to the Chapel of Rest. We visited frequently until the day before her funeral. We knew this would be the last time we'd see her. I arrived at my Nan's house to collect my mum and sister. Upon entering the house, there was a strong smell in the hallway. They stated it kept coming and going and they could not find any source. We'd never had it there before or since, and to this day it's never been smelt again. We arrived at the chapel and decided that my sister and I would go in first, so Mum remained in the waiting room talking to one of the employees. We filled Nan's coffin with so many gifts. I'm not sure why, but it made us feel better that she had little bits of our journey of life with her in the coffin. Photos of her with her great-grandchildren, photos from her wedding, fridge magnets she collected, a newspaper, you get my gist. When we went to lay the final thing we had with us, the door to the room flew and slammed shut. Startled and slightly spooked, we jumped back from Nan, at which point my mother and the member of staff she was talking to came in to ask what happened. We pointed at Nan and said we were standing just by her, so it couldn't have been us. To which they said nothing had happened out there, no open windows, no doors, and the lady had certainly not experienced it before. Maybe a simple explanation was there, but we couldn't find it. Was she letting us know that she was there? After her funeral, many things would move in the house, or return to their original spot as if she disapproved of us moving stuff around. As my eldest daughter grew up, she kept waving at someone we couldn't see in the house and would talk about seeing someone whenever we visited. That feeling seemed to go in the back bedroom too. Very odd, especially as it had been experienced for so long and by so many people. Perhaps this was all nothing, but as the house was sold a few years after Nan's passing, I often wonder if the new owners experience stuff now. But I don't think it's something I should knock on the door and ask. Wow, Abby, what a story. Should you knock on the door and ask? I don't know. Would it be weird? Yes, it would be weird, but at the same time, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, does it really matter what people think of you? I don't think it does. You know what? I've said this before and I'll say it again, and it's very true. My nan, before she got dementia and all that sort of stuff, the word she said stuck with me and stick with me every day of my life. And she said, it was very like, you know, monumental, if you like, the way she said it. But we were talking about something, I can't even think what it was, but I was talking about feeling embarrassed about doing something maybe. You know, because as you know, I perform music on stage, I've done stand-up comedy and all this carry on. I'll try and, you know, do stuff like that. And whatever this particular thing was, I was feeling a little bit embarrassed about. Or should I say not confident. I mean, Nan quite rightly said, she said, you know, when you get to my age, she was about 90 at this point, she said, you kick yourself because you look back at all the things you didn't do because of the opinions of other people. And she said, you know, when you get to my age, and this is the harsh bit, this is the Irish inner coming out. She said, they're all dead. She said, and you think to yourself, why was he even bothered? She said, the only people you should be concerned about the opinion of is you and your family. And other than that, it doesn't matter. And you know what? It's the truest thing ever said. We're only here for a very short time. So maybe you should knock. Just knock on. I'm saying this looking at there's a house, the patrons will know that I've been talking about, which I can see from this window, which I believe is haunted for several reasons. And if you become a patron, you'll find out why. And people have said, why don't you just go and knock on? And I should take my own words, or should I say, should take me Nan's words of encouragement there and just go and do it. Because it doesn't matter, does it? We'll all be dust one day. Anywho, Abby, thank you so much for that story. And don't forget, guys, if you've got a story there that you're sitting on and you want to send it in for us to read out, or you want to come on and have a chat like I'm about to do with Mandy from Missouri, then email me, contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and we'll definitely either read your story out or me and you will have a little chat via Zoom and we put it on the show. Yeah, so that's contact@talkaboutghosts.com. But thank you once again, Abby. That was a great story. Okay, so I think without any further ado, we should get to our call for today's show. It's a great call. We talk about many paranormal things and some not necessarily supernatural stuff, but definitely weird. It's a great chat that I had with the wonderful Mandy over in the US, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. And here's that call. Okay, so for the first time in many, many weeks, I have the ultimate pleasure of speaking to one of our wonderful listeners. And I have the great fortune of speaking to a lovely lady named Mandy, who is all the way in Missouri in the US of A. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kevin.
You definitely don't pronounce it as Missouri, do you? Is it Missouri?
It's Missouri, yeah.
Missouri. Okay.
Missouri.
So how are you doing, Mandy, anyway, on this fine Tuesday, Sunday to everyone else, but Tuesday to us?
Doing really well. Really well.
Good. Good. And is the whole lockdown-y naughty C-word business treating you okay?
It is. I got my first vaccination, which I'm super excited about.
Congratulations.
Second one on the 15th. Thank you. The state's opening up to everybody on the 9th, so I'm hoping the husband can get it soon, too.
Brilliant.
My dream is just to, like, go wander around a Target or something for an hour with no kids. You know, I haven't been alone since last March. So
yeah.
But I have not caught COVID. No one in my immediate family has. We've been really careful. So we're pretty happy because there's been a lot of it around. So
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's really good news. Yeah, it'd be nice to just have a little bit of normality, won't it? And everyone's kind of at the same point, I think, across the world at the minute. We're all look like we're peeking out the back end of it at the minute, which is nice. Yes. Anyway, this is not a coronavirus podcast, thankfully, because what an awful show that would be. This is a show about the paranormal and about ghosts. And Mandy, you have some things you'd like to share with us.
I do. So I'll share my first story that I don't know that it's ghost related, but I think it's definitely paranormal. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it because I've talked about this before and nobody's ever had this happen to them. Hmm. So when I was a teenager, about 16 or 17, I'd just taken a shower and I had gotten out of the shower and I'm standing in front of the sink and, you know, still wet, naked, whatever. And there's nothing plugged in and there's an outlet right next to the sink, next to the medicine cabinet mirror that all of a sudden makes this loud noise, like zork. And then this blue ball of electricity that's like about the size of a golf ball slowly floats out of it, floats over to me, down to like my waist, and then slowly circled me all the way around my wet body until it got to the top of my head. And then it just zapped out. And I was standing there the whole time, like, oh my gosh, if this thing touches me, I'm going to get such a hell of a burn. So it was just really weird. And I remember asking my mom about it. And she was like, I don't know, could that be ball lightning or St. Elmo's fire? But I don't think it is. But
how interesting. You know, when you say, just a quick question, when you said, like, when it flew around you, it zooped out. Do you mean like it flew off or it just disappeared?
Yeah, it just disappeared, just dissipated above my head.
Wow. Have you seen the video? And there's a reason that I'm asking this. There's a video that's went a bit viral recently of ball lightning crossing a railway track. And if you've not, I see you shaking your head. If you've not, I'll forward you this video after this call. It would be interesting to know if that's similar to what you kind of experienced, because that sounds something like ball lightning, which, you know, the reason, if anyone's listening who doesn't know what ball lightning is, it's such an alleged rare phenomena that it's never been caught. You know, it's never been captured on video, on film or anything. So, but there's many an urban legend about it taking place, and or in your case, a tiny one circling your body.
Yeah, it was just about the size of a golf ball. And I'll try not to nod. I know we're on an audio.
Oh, no, sorry. That was, just me letting people know. But come.
But yeah, it was the only time it's happened. It didn't leave any burn marks. And because, you know, I've plugged things in before where you'll get like a pop of electricity and it'll leave like a little black singe mark. It made a loud noise. It definitely sounded like electricity and I could feel it a little bit. Like, I don't know if you've ever been near when lightning strikes, the way it makes the hair stand, it makes your hair, you can feel your hair feels like it's standing up.
Okay.
And I've been in a car when lightning has struck a tree nearby. I've never been that close, but you can feel that electric surge and you could kind of feel it, but I don't know. It didn't touch me. It was just so weird that it circled too.
Yeah.
Just all the way around me. It rotated barely, very slowly.
It come out of the electricity socket as well.
Yeah. It came out of the socket.
Wow. I mean, so it does sound, I mean, the other thing that's interesting as well is that the normal, as you'll probably well know, the common theory about ball lightning is lightning. It's from the sky. It's not from the socket as such. But it does sound like if it's come out of the socket, I'm wondering if it's anything to do with the moisture in the air. If you're just getting out of the bath or the shower and there's condensation in the air, whether it's something to do with that. But I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. And I didn't have anything plugged in. So it's not like, you know, there was like a radio or anything plugged in or a hairdryer. It was just, I couldn't tell you if it was stormy that night either. But I mean, there's always a lot of static electricity. I don't know what it was, but it was just... I don't think it's a haunting or anything like that, but I think it's definitely, I don't know, some kind of paranormal or supernatural. Oh. It's not natural. It's not normal.
No, I'm really made up that you said it actually, because I agree. The great thing about it is it may not be paranormal or supernatural but what it is, it's an exceptionally rare phenomena. And it definitely warrants bringing up on a show like this where we talk about the weird and the strange. So I'm really happy that you did do that. Did you, another question on it, did you hear it like crackling or anything as it was going around?
Not that I remember, no. It felt very much like, I don't honestly know how long it lasted either. It was one of those things that while it was happening, it felt like it was happening forever. You know how when things slow down?
Was that because you had a fear that if it hit you, you could get a shock?
I was terrified. I did not want to. I've been burned before, and I was like, oh no, I don't want to get, this is going to be a zap. And then, you know, I mean, like I said, I was wet. I was naked. And I was like, I don't want, you know, this is not the time to have any, you know, electrical balls of fire floating around the house. So
it's so interesting. I mean, it's up there for me with like spontaneous human combustion, that sort of thing, though, because let's say for argument's sake, if something did happen there, well, yeah, let's say for argument's sake, you witnessed it coming out like you did and something happened. Who's going to believe that story, for one? Right. And two, how many times has this happened and somebody hasn't noticed it and they've just walked in and found a corpse and they've said, oh, the heart stopped. There's a sudden heart attack or something.
Absolutely. I mean, if it would have touched, the bathroom's pretty wet because they just got out of the shower. But what if it happened in another room or floated out into the kitchen and hit the curtain or, you know, started a house fire? I mean, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. Luckily, it's never happened again.
That is lucky.
It's, you know, not to me, and I'm hoping it doesn't, because that was not, it was not cool. It was cool, but it wasn't. It was definitely.
Oh, yeah. I can see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to root out that video that's gone viral. It's like, it's a giant, again, thinking about it, actually, this, I'm saying it's ball lightning. It doesn't actually come from the sky. It looks like it comes from a power line, so it could be very similar to what you've experienced. And it just floats across this railway track and into the forest. But again, it is just like a very slow-moving ball of like plasma energy. So I've never heard anything like that, so that you've literally got the star of originality for stories on this show.
Thank you. I've never thought to YouTube it. When it, after it happened, I looked up ball lightning, because we had... I'm Gen X, so this was like early 90s. So I went and pulled out the Encyclopedia Britannica, like there's like a little illustration, but I never thought about trying to YouTube it. And I definitely want to look and see if there are any other videos out there as well, because it's just been a mystery that I just think about periodically.
Yeah. I can completely understand why, because you know, I would imagine you're going to go your whole life and never see that again. Touch wood.
Hopefully. But, you know.
So you said that you said at the start of the show you also had stories about a house with strange vibes and also you seeing a ghost.
Yes. Okay. So the house with strange vibes. So I grew up in St. Louis, which was is not and they're nice areas, but it's a lot of poorer areas, and I come from a working class family, like single mom stuff. So I had a friend who lived in a house with her parents and her sister and two brothers. And it was a family house that I believe belonged to the father's parents. And it was a big four family flat. So it was old for U.S. standards. I mean, it was like I probably from like the 1850s or something, the big four family flat. So it had two apartments on the bottom and then two apartments on the top. And I think each apartment had about two bedrooms in it, and it was run down. And while her parents were there, there was little to no parental supervision at all. So I used to stay over there all the time. And the mother, I know that she was into witchcraft, not like Satanism or the, I mean, I don't know if she did Ouija boards or anything, but it was not like any kind of black occult. It was more like, you know, like the Stevie Nicks wear shawls, like candles, and listen to, you know,
smudge your house now and again and put some joss sticks on and stuff like that. And
Exactly. Yeah. Witchcraft. And then she always talked about the house being haunted. And the father was a big, scary biker guy with like long hair and a big beard. And he was fun. But he didn't seem like the type of person you'd ever accuse of being like a flight of fancy, right? But he would tell stories about like the mom would tell stories about ghosts all the time, and she talked about things that happened to the father. And I remember asking one time, because it was just, I had never had anything like that happen in my life. And it was like kind of suspect. And I asked him one day, I'm like, so, you know, Didi said that a ghost threw a TV at you once. And he's like, yeah, you know, it was throwing things around and being loud. And I got mad and swore at it. And so I was laying down, taking a nap, and it threw a TV at me. So I was like, okay, it was really weird because there was part of me is like, you want to believe it because adults don't lie to you. But at the same time is how could this possibly be true? And are these adults lying to me? And so I wasn't really sure about it. And I don't know. It was very strange. And in the part of the house that they lived in, so the parents and the brothers lived in the lower right apartment. Right. The girls, and I was about 15. So my best friend was 15 and her younger sister, who I think was like 12 or 13, had the upstairs right apartment. Yeah. And then the apartment on the left, they had cut a big hole in the wall, made like a big open doorway so you could just walk over there. It was abandoned. There was nothing in there. It was trashed. And then the lower left apartment was the grandfather's old apartment, which was weird because it was like a time capsule. Like wow. He passed away. They just locked the door and nobody ever went in there. Wow. You know, you'd see like dishes in the dish drainer and a coat over the chair. It was just, and it was in, it's just kind of a creepy neighborhood. It was very sketchy and poor and you'd see like real shady things and nobody slept. You know, like I remember one night I was sitting outside with the sister and we were smoking cigarettes and probably drinking like strawberry. There's no parental supervision. Yeah. I think we were drinking like Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill wine or something. And like there was a guy walking down the street in a ski mask and a flashlight in the cars. And so we're sitting there and he just walks past us like it's nothing. And we kind of look at each other and we're like, okay. And then he just walked up the street and turned the corner and we're like, fine. And then as we're sitting there smoking cigarettes, like that was crazy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Both of us get this really strong feeling like somebody's coming. Like it was out of the blue. You know, we weren't freaked out when we saw, which we should have been, but I don't know, when you're a kid, you kind of accept seeing strange or awful things. It's just like, it's just part of life, right? Yeah. You're used to flying under the radar. But it was, both of us got goosebumps and felt like somebody's coming. We've got, you know, and so we peeked around the porch and looked down the sidewalk. And this guy with the ski mask was coming back and he had a really big friend with him. Whoa. With a ski mask that was coming towards us.
He had a ski mask on as well, the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy did too.
Oh my God.
So we tore around the back of the house, ran to the backyard and went inside and locked the door. And that was the first thing where, again, it's more like a vibes thing, but we couldn't see because the way the porch was set up is there's long stairs and like a yard and then stairs that went down to the street. Yeah. And you could sit in like an alcove where the front door was. That's where we were sitting. So we were able to see him when he was walking across the street, but not when he was on our side coming down, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Oh my God.
So that was the first thing where it was just like something just alerted us like, hey, something bad's coming.
It's very rare that I get a shiver down to physical things. Like I can watch, like we watched about three, like not torture films, that's the wrong phrase, but you know, like a slasher sort of Manhattan and the Cupboard sort of films over the weekend. Don't faze me in the slightest, but I've just got a shiver down my spine picturing what you've said there because I pictured it so well. So well done you. Sorry, continue.
Well, thank you. It was scary. I remember when I was running, I slipped in the grass and the mud and I fell like in a horror movie. And I was wearing a necklace and it fell off. And I started to run back to grab the necklace. And my friend was like, what are you doing, you idiot? Come on. And then I got up and I ran back.
Have you seen any film ever?
Right, you know, yeah, exactly. So I know better now, but at the time it was like, oh, my jewelry.
Amazing. I mean, that's a horrific image, but there was clearly more within that house, I take it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So there was another time where there were just parts of the house that you wouldn't go into. And a lot of it, I think, was that it was dilapidated and it was just kind of trashed. Like the girls, they had in the upstairs, there was a bedroom in the front where the sister slept. Then there was the sitting room where they just had like a TV and a couch. And then the kitchen nobody ever went into, and then my best friend's room. And it was, so you didn't, it was like walking past the kitchen to get to the bathroom because the kitchen was at the end of the hall. You know, that kind of stuff just gave you like the creeps. Yeah. And the open door that led to the other apartment right next door was very creepy. And there was just, it didn't help that they didn't clean up. There were kids. There was papers everywhere. There was just clothes. It was just trash. Right. It was not a place that I'd like my own kids to hang out.
Right. Yeah.
But, and so that just kind of gave you vibes. It wasn't a very homey feel, but it was being a teenager. There's no authority around. You can do whatever you want. You can stay up all night. You can smoke cigarettes in the house and watch TV. Leave the house to walk to the local gas station to get Dr. Peppers and nachos at 3 a.m. It was just, we were feral children. So one night we were sitting out on the back porch. And we're just hanging out, like, you know, looking at stars or something and just gossiping. And all of a sudden it was me and my best friend and her sister. We all were having a really nice time, nothing wrong. And then all of us got up and raced into the house as quickly as we could because we all just got scared for no reason. And I remember saying, okay, that felt like, and then like a big, and then all three of us then said dark hand, because it felt like we didn't see anything, but it felt like a big dark hand coming from the balcony above us.
Yeah.
Like that's just what it felt like. And it's
as in it was about to grab you and you just ran, or like as in it came over you.
No, it was like, it was hovering above us about to grab us.
Wow.
And it was just, that was like the vision in our mind. And we all just got scared at the same time. We weren't talking about ghosts or creepy things. We were talking about, I don't know, concerts or whatever, you know, boys. And we just got up and booked it in the house right away. And then after that, we wouldn't go back outside because there was just a really creepy atmosphere. Yeah. It was like the air felt thick.
So and you all recognized that at the exact same time as well?
At the exact same second. We just went from gossip, and then just got up and ran.
Wow, that is so interesting. And it's almost like as well, I mean, I don't want to put words into your head, but you know, if you've said that you had that similar feeling when the two guys came in the ski masks as well. So
yeah, like that, something that alerts you that danger.
Yeah,
it made me, I always think of it as kind of that, like rabbits, you know, they're just cool and chilling out, and then all of a sudden they just shoot across because their spidey sense goes off. And that's what it felt like all of a sudden we were scared rabbits. Just
so I wonder then if there's two things that I can think of. That one is, I wonder if you and your friend have, and the third person in this case, have some sort of psychic gift, which is, you know, giving you this sort of pre-warning, if you like, some sort of precognition. Or is it the house, on the other hand, maybe, although we had freaky vibes, was it in essence protecting you? Was it that kind of forcing this warning through you?
Well, that's a really good, so bookmark that thought. Let's put a pin in that. I'll tell you one last little quick one, and then I'll tell you the craziest story about that house.
Okay.
So my best friend had to go downstairs to do laundry, and they had a back stairwell, and it was tall because it's a big four family. And so she was upstairs, and we'd have to go all the way down the two stories into the basement. And it was just an old, dark, dungeony basement. And I did not want to go, but she was like, please, I don't like to do laundry by myself. Please come with me. And, you know, I'm a sucker when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, to like dangerous situations. Cause it's like, okay, I gotta be supportive. So I went with her. And when I was going down the stairs, something pushed me in the back of the shoulder. It felt like somebody took their hand like that. Like a, I don't know, a little frog face or duck face you can make with your hand, and just punched me right in the back of the shoulder. And it knocked me down about two steps, and I fell into her. And she actually asked me if that's what happened. She said, oh, did you just get pushed down the stairs, or you know, been drinking? Which I hadn't, but because it's happened to her before.
Wow. And I mean, that's something to jump to, isn't it? Like if I fell down the stairs now, there's no way on earth Becca would say, did someone push you? Do you know what I mean? It would be, what have you tripped over? Which would be everyone's logical question.
But the whole family's lived in this house since... Yeah. You know, I mean, they've always lived in this house, and I'm pretty sure it was the dad's parents that had owned it. So, you know, he grew up in that house as well. So it's just, it doesn't seem like it's anything new. Like talking about the ghost throwing the TV at the father. They are so casual about this kind of stuff. And it was just like, what are people talking about? You know, even after it happened, it was never the kind of thing that I was just comfortable with. But I guess you can grow used to anything, you know.
I suppose you can. I mean, to be honest, I've only just realized then, because I missed it. I mean, when, so the television getting thrown at the dad, that was in the house also.
That was in the house. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. When you mentioned the dad earlier, I thought that was just an anecdote attached to the dad. I didn't realize it was also in the house.
In the house. It was in the house. So they've always just claimed that there were paranormal, that the house was really haunted.
Yeah.
I never heard anything. It wasn't anything like that. It would just feel things. But that one time something actually touched me.
Wow.
And that was very, I didn't like that. Don't touch. That's not. Yeah, don't knock me down the stairs.
Yeah. Warn me about attackers all you want, but don't throw me down the stairs, please.
Right. Which though, what that kind of says to me is that there's
more than one.
Good and bad. Yes. Oh, exactly. Oh,
wow. Wow. Shiver. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's got to be. So is it, could it be like the grandparents that are maybe protective of the kids in the house and that's why they give warnings? Or is it,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. And I don't know that I believe in demons per se. I'm not really religious. But I mean, I think there's definitely, just like there's good and bad people, you know, then it could be good and bad spirits or entities, or maybe just like people, nobody's 100% good. Nobody's 100% bad. Maybe there was something in this house that sometimes it felt protective over its people and it was calm. And sometimes it was pissed and it would push you because it didn't like whatever. Well,
I read an interesting article on a website the other day. You know, when you go in a bit of a down a rabbit hole and you start clicking on blue links all the while. And it was a theory about poltergeists, because I've been reading a lot about these really recently. And one, although there's the common argument is obviously like there's no actual sentience to the poltergeist. It's just a mismatch of energy and emotion that just fires things off. But this was an argument that if there was sentience attached to a poltergeist, why it may act in the way that it did. And they referred it to, and it's an interesting one because I've currently got a family member going through this, but they referred it to dementia. And they said, my nan passed from dementia and she didn't have this, what I'm going to say. However, I've got an uncle who's currently got it and he is like this. And they were saying, if you know somebody who suffers certain types of dementia, they will, when they're lucid and they're aware, you know, they're as nice as pie. But when they hit an episode where they're not aware of what's going on, they can get very angry and start lashing out. And it's
sundowning.
And it's very against their personality. So this is what the a poltergeist could be. You know, if, because there can be nothing more stressful. Surely, it's all well and good saying it's difficult as a human losing sense of your surroundings with dementia and therefore getting angry. But imagine if you were a spirit and you now and again thought, "Hold on, why am I walking through walls?" You know, you get a little bit angrier, I think. So maybe it was an interesting theory that I'd never heard before, basically. But it ties in with this.
Absolutely. Or like you'd said before, though, maybe the house was more sensitive to things. And so our psychic abilities were more peaked. And maybe what gave us alerts had nothing to do with any kind of dark force. It was just like our own intuition was maybe hyped up or heightened. So
definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. That's one of the things about, I don't like surprises. You know, I mean, it's like, I would like to know everything. Like, what happened? Why did that happen? What's the reason there? And so just kind of living in that big, I don't know, cloud is it's just unsettling. You know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm very similar in that respect.
So the psychic story, though. So this is a little bit dark, but
all for the darkness.
Well, When I was a kid, and I was 18, good friend of ours was kidnapped and murdered.
Oh, so, well, sorry, but can I just say right off the bat, I meant I'm all for the darkness in a ghost sense. I'm not all about this, just to clarify.
I know exactly.
That sounds horrific. Oh, my God.
I probably should have warned you about the trigger warning at the beginning of the episode or anything. She was 16. She was kidnapped. Hell.
Oh my God.
And she was murdered and she was just missing for a week. And it was all over the news and nobody knew where she was. They like found her purse on that side of the highway. It was really a dark and awful time.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry, by the way, that I was laughing at my reaction, not this. Just so.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's fine. So my friend's mom, who dabbled in witchcraft, said, let's have a seance. Let's try to find her. So it was me and my best friend and my best friend's sister and our friend Andy. And we're in the kitchen. And I'm sorry, I'm smiling because it was, she, the mom, she set the scene. She put like candles on the table, a little table. Right. And we're all, there's the chairs in a circle. And we're all just sitting there together. And she made a tape.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a fan of the Moody Blues. Okay.
Oh, so she made like a mixtape.
She made a mix, except it wasn't a mixtape. You know that song, I Know You're Out There Somewhere?
Yeah.
It's like a 4-hour song. I'm not a fan of the Moody Blues. She put it on repeat. She just taped it over and over. So we're doing this dance with Moody Blues are singing, I Know You're Out There Somewhere, behind me for
that is hysterical, to be fair.
Yes. It was just like, oh, man. So, I mean, you know, and I know the horrible thing is we're looking for my friend, but all I could think about was like, oh, I hate this song. I hate this song. So, you know, so as we're sitting there and we're trying to concentrate on where are you?
Yeah.
You know, where could you be? And the mom's asking questions and, you know, we're all just really trying to concentrate. And I remember, sidebar real quick, there's a town in Missouri, it's called Times Beach, and Times Beach was abandoned because in the late 70s or early 80s there was a truck driver, or maybe it was a series of truck drivers, that were dumping toxic waste from like chemicals from companies, like factories in the land. And it was,
I think I've seen people. This place is it like a man-made lake that the beach turned toxic on?
Yes, and people were getting cancer, and it was, you know, it was awful. So nobody went there. It was just this abandoned town. And the mom, she kept saying, Mandy, I'm not getting any sight. I'm really feeling it from Andy, but I'm not getting anything from you, which I was so mad because don't tell a teenage girl that she doesn't have any psychic ability around all this. I was like, you know, whatever. I was so offended. It was, maybe it was your poor music choices blocking my, blocking my, yeah. But, the sister said, I feel like she's in Times Beach.
Right.
They ended up finding her body in Times Beach. No, these guys had driven out, which is not, it's close to St. Louis, but it's not like a 5-minute drive. Yeah. They had driven out to, I don't know, maybe it's an hour away or something, and killed her and left her body in Times Beach.
Oh my God.
And it was just, Times Beach was not, this was not right after the Times Beach thing had happened, because that happened when I was a kid, or maybe it was just a court case that happened when I was a kid and it might have even happened before then. So it wasn't a place that anybody visited or even really talked about. It was just, you know, something that you knew about because it was.
So it wouldn't have been. So you're saying basically it wouldn't have been in her brain as a place.
It would not have been, especially not a 13-year-old girl, but she's popped off with, I believe that she's in Times Beach, and that's where the police found her. Oh, I don't think they found her from my friend's mom. I'm sure he called the police and told her, but there were so many psychics that were calling the police and my friend that is missing his mom, and, you know, with all kinds of things. Yeah. So,
And that was a seance, not a Ouija board. That was he was all like held hands, done a seance-y sort of environment. Mm-hmm.
There was no Ouija board. Yeah. I have used a Ouija board once when I was about 13, and it never moved for us. We were practicing witchcraft too, and, you know, we were trying to do Ouija boards and stuff, and I never got it to move. I think when it did move, it was definitely, we were pushing it. I know I pushed it a few times, and I'm pretty sure my friend did too. So never had any luck with that.
But I mean, I also suppose it's a good thing that you hear nothing but bad stories about them anyway, don't you?
Right, exactly. But that was the craziest one though. I mean, that was really, it was just a very weird, surreal event. And
did she say like someone whispered it to her, or it just came to her in a vision, or?
It just came to her. The way she described it, actually, I remember this, was that it was like the words floated through her mind, you know? And so I always pictured it. I don't know if that's how it happened for her, if somebody just said it in her mind, but I always pictured kind of like a cartoon. Like you could see like a little sign floating.
Like the Simpsons at the start with the clouds.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So that was wild though. That's really all of the paranormal stories I have about that house. But it was,
that's amazing. I mean, when you say that's really all, I mean, that's, you could, there's literally a book's worth there. And I've got such a good vision of this house. You know, I'm always interested, you know, because it's a very quick sidebar. I'll use your word, very quick sidebar. I'm always interested when somebody tells such a good story, how much, and this is me now going on, I'm out on a big limb, but when I've mentioned on the show before, when I was a kid, I used to be quite successful at psychometry, which is getting a wedding ring off someone and telling them where they were when they got the wedding ring and stuff like that. Can't really do it at all now. When I say can't really do it now, I can't do it now at all. But I've always thought, you know, when somebody's such as what we're doing now, you know, when you really get into a debate and a conversation and you're really into the conversation, like I was with you discussing the house, I obviously get a picture in me head as you're describing it. And I always wonder just how close to the actual thing, in not just with me, but, you know, with everyone, when you have these stories, are we all basically on a level of psychicness that we'll never know because nobody turns around and draws what they've just seen in their head as the other person spoke? Anyway, mm-hmm. enough of that weird sidebar. But so you also said that you yourself have seen a ghost, which comes back to maybe you being a bit psychic.
Well, so maybe. So this is another family flat. They're really common where I grew up. But I was 17 and I had a boyfriend and we were together with my, you know, high school sweetheart. We were together for a couple of years and we used to go every weekend out to our friend's house, who another one where there was no parental supervision. I don't know how we survived because there were never any parents, or it's like Charlie Brown, you know, where every once in a while you hear them, wah, 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 but otherwise you never see an adult. But we used to drive out to our friend's house, who lived about an hour away, and we would just like, we would drink and watch TV and play D&D and, you know, just.
Yeah. Just random teenage stuff.
Yeah, just, it was a lot of fun. And so we were packing up to go to his house. Now, my boyfriend's house, he lived in a really big house that had been, my old friend's house was always a four family. This was a big house that had been converted into apartments. So right. It had two apartments on the bottom. And then there was like a big foyer in the center of the front door. And then the apartment upstairs, the whole upstairs was one apartment. So my boyfriend and, did you see my cat, by the way?
Yeah, my heart just leapt into my throat. Sorry. I just seen this black shape moving behind you. Hello, little kitten.
That's misdemeanor. She's always around. But so my boyfriend and his family lived at the top. It was the grandmother owned it. They lived in the upper apartment, and the grandmother lived on the lower right side apartment, and his uncle lived on the left hand apartment on the bottom. Yeah. And there's nothing any particularly creepy about the house. It was nice. It was a nice house. But one thing is that when you were going upstairs, so you'd come into the foyer, and to go upstairs to that apartment, they had the front door. And then when you go in, there's a long stairwell, and there's a light switch at the bottom of the stairs. And then there's a light switch at the top of the stairs. And if you, wherever you turned the light off, you had to turn it back on at that switch. So if you were leaving and you turn the light switch off at the bottom, you couldn't turn the light switch on at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, they weren't.
Does that make sense?
We've got to hear. If I turn all stairs lights on upstairs to go downstairs, I can turn them off at the foot of the stairs because they're connected. But you couldn't do that, is what you're saying.
Right. You could turn them off from either one, but you could only turn it on from the whichever switch you turned it off at.
I see.
Which it sounds like a boring detail, but it's relevant. So we're getting ready. We're packing for the weekend, and I've got my arms full of stuff, and I'm at the top of the stairs. And I don't think there were any lights on in the house, but it was like a bright summer day and there were windows and everything. So there was light, but the stairwell didn't have any windows and it was really dark. So I walk in and I'm standing at the top of the stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, I see something. And it was like an opaque cloud, I guess. It was like diamond shaped, but not with hard shapes. It was just very shimmery and fuzzy. Yeah. Okay. But it was, and it's just floating at the bottom of the stairs. And I'm like closing my eyes because I thought maybe it's from you walking to a bright room to a dark room. You know, sometimes you'll see like,
maybe
that's more from walking to a dark room to a light room. But I thought it was my eyes playing tricks on me. So I'm like squeezing my eyes shut and that kind of thing that you do. And, you know, and it's not going away. And I felt like I was in a wind tunnel of like negative emotions. It was very weird. Like I could feel like all of these, just like sadness and anger and everything just like rushing past me. And all the hairs on my arms are standing up. The hairs in the back of my neck are standing up. And I'm just in a blind panic. And this is not going away. It's not just disappearing. Mm. And I remember thinking to myself, because remember, I was a 17-year-old girl, you know, peer pressure and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell my boyfriend. He was a great guy, but he was kind of a jerk, as young men can be.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him to make fun of me. And so I'm standing there thinking, what do I do? Because if I went back and got him and he comes back and this thing's not here, he's going to tease me about it endlessly.
Yeah.
So I steal my nerves. I just cannot believe that I did this because I would never do this now. I steal my nerves and I ran full force down the stairs at top
speed.
No
way. Really?
Whipped the light on with one hand, the door open with the other, ran straight out to his car and just stood there, and I wouldn't go back and get any more stuff.
So did you run through it to do that?
I ran through it.
Oh my God.
Which I would not do now. I mean,
no way. Bloody hell. I'm not doing that in my head because I'm going to visualize it. Okay, so you're saying you ran through the thing at the bottom of the stairs?
I barreled right through it. I don't think I've ever ran that fast before. Yep, ran right through it, right through the foyer, ran out to the car and just stood by the car.
Oh my God.
Waiting for my boyfriend.
You know what? When you were describing it as well earlier, there's it really sends a shiver down my spine when you said it was a diamond shape as well, because if you've ever seen, which you will have, I'm sure, as most people listening will have, if you're looking at like pictures of, so there's a very famous photograph from Rainham Hall in the UK of the Brown Lady of Rainham Hall, and she's a diamond shape because it's a rough, you know, very like soft edges, because that's the shape a human being makes when they're stood up.
I know I've seen pictures of the Brown Lady before, but I'll have to look that up. But yeah, it was absolutely bizarre. It was really scary. So though, with that, story's not over yet.
Yeah.
So about 2 weeks later, I brought it up to my boyfriend and some terrible keeping secrets. And I was telling him about it. And he was like, you know, why didn't you tell me about this at first? And I was like, well, because I thought you'd be a jerk and make fun of me about it. And he said, no, actually, before my grandma lived in that apartment, she used to live in my uncle's apartment. And she rented that out to a tenant who ended up dying by suicide. Well, he didn't use that term, but you know, trying to be PC, but yeah. And, he said, maybe that's what you saw. And I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that was a person. I mean, cause it didn't look like a person, it was just like a mist or.
And it's so interesting though, that you say you felt like you were in a vortex of like negative emotions and sadness and despair and stuff.
Not coming from me though. It wasn't my feelings. It was very clearly. Out, so like I said, it was like a wind tunnel. It was like
a
they were rushing past me.
Right, so being fired from that thing at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. And so, did you feel anything different? I mean, I really can't visualize, because I know I wouldn't do it, is why I can't visualize it. So I haven't got the capacity in my imagination to imagine running through that, because I know I would be running the opposite way and there'd be a Kev-shaped hole. And I'd be running faster than any sort of wind tunnel of negative emotions, I promise you. There'd just be I won't even say what there'd be, but there'd be a smell, let me put it that way. So my point is, when you ran through that object, did anything specific or different happen to the emotion and the sight that you could already see?
No, I mean, as soon as I got through the door open and got out into the foyer, everything felt different. It felt normal. I was scared. I was that shaky feeling where, like, if you've ever almost been in an accident or, you know, where you're just kind of, you're shaky and it's like, you feel it's a little hard to breathe and it's not quite a panic attack, but you know, you're kind of on the edge of it is what I felt. But that was all coming from me. It was like I walked through a door. Or a wall, and as soon as I got on the other side, there was normalcy again. So
yeah, and I kind of know exactly what you mean. Yeah, so like for example, you know when, and this is quite off topic, but you know when there was all of those like shootings going on in Europe, like the terrorist shootings, there was loads of them. We had a training thing in work for like a marauding shooting attack. We actually had to be sat down and trained. Here's what you do if terrorists come in. And that they said, you'll hear this particular alarm. Now, that alarm went off about 3 weeks later, and we were at the critical level in the UK for, like, terror alerts. And everyone kind of looked at each other and didn't know what to do. And there was this overriding sense of fear. And then we had to get out to the muster point. It turns out, because our work are lovely like that, it was like a test, but like they had to do it like a real world test to see how everyone would cope. But exactly like what you've just said, as soon as we knew it was a test, I still had the adrenaline, I still had my heart beating, but I knew that that was all me. Whereas the thing that was happening prior was out of my control. So I was kind of swept along with it. And that kind of sounds like what you mean, you know, like the light sort of switches off and, you know, you're no longer in danger, but you're then just coping with what your body's just put you through.
Well, yeah, it's like if you ever, I kind of think of it as like a little bit of fight or flight, you know, exactly. A mama bear response. Like there have been times when, you know, there was like a friend of mine got jumped and it was all guys and they were jumping another guy and beating him up. And I'm 5'2", you know, nothing girl. And I went hurtling right into the midst of it to stop it because that's just, it's like your brain turns off. Right.
Yeah.
But I think it also has to do with being like a foolhardy teenager or child. Because there was a time a couple of years ago when my husband and I were who's not the same boyfriend, but my husband and I were sitting outside around a fire and an owl started screaming its head off and it sounded like a banshee. It was terrifying. It was like 10 feet away from us. And I got up and bailed and left my husband to be murdered. And, you know, like I'm running to the house. And as soon as I get to the sliding glass door, the thing starts hooting. I was like, oh my God, that was an owl, but it sounded like a woman being murdered. So, I mean, I as an adult, I don't care if you're going to make fun of me, you know, and my poor husband, I love him very much, but it was like, fend for yourself, buddy. But I did not run charging to fight the owl, but I sure did run right through whatever that was at the bottom of the stairs.
Terrifying. And was there did anyone else say they've experienced anything in that flat as well? I mean, I know that there's obviously the person who sadly took their own life there. But did anyone who lived there say that they'd experienced anything similar?
No, and what's weird is I never asked anybody about it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I didn't want to ask my boyfriend's parents and seem like a weirdo or whatever. Yeah. But and I really should have asked him because he didn't seem surprised or judgmental. And he was always like a really logical guy. So maybe he had, but at the same time, if anybody tells me a ghost story, I'm always like, let me tell you what happened to me. You know, I mean, it's like, So I don't know.
And was it the middle of the day?
Yes, it was. It was daylight. It was probably mid morning.
Quick question on the, and this is me playing skeptic now and a bit of a, just to see, to rule this out. Because the way I'm visioning, and it's interesting, like I was saying before, when it's telling this different story, I'm in a completely different house. And where I can see that you are, it's in I'm in a friend's house that I haven't been in for over 30 years in my head when I'm listening to the story. And when I look down at the stairs that I'm visioning this taking place on, because the way you describe it, I try to go somewhere that I can see similar so I can kind of picture it better. Anyway. Just to check, there wasn't like a window at the side of the wall that could have had light coming in through that. So if there was any dust like circulating at the bottom of the stairs, that sunlight could have shone as a little cloud there, maybe?
Nope. Think of it more. It was an interior stairwell. So like I said, this was a big house that had been converted. So on either side of the house, there were the apartments. And then there was a foyer. And there's a door over on left-hand side, door on the right-hand side, and the middle door. And the middle door went. So it was just a white plaster walls with like an old wooden banister attached to the wall and wooden stairs. And when you got to the top, there was a door. And now the door that you'd open to go into the apartment, and the door was always open. The bottom one was where they would lock. That was like their main front door. But no, it was just an interior stairwell.
Wow. It's so impressive that it really is. And that was, so a lot of all of these things obviously seem to focus around when you were a teenager. Have you had anything as you've got older, anything go on?
No, and that's what's so interesting to me. I was thinking about, you know, we're talking about the psychic. When I was a kid, I dreamt my father's death and it happened. I didn't dream of dying. I didn't dream of dying. And I was younger then. I was probably 11 or 12, maybe even 10. And I dreamt that my father had died and that I got a phone call from my cousin telling me, because my parents were divorced. And what's funny about it is I've always been a very, very vivid dreamer my entire life. And when I was a kid, I just chalked it up to a nightmare until it happened. But with my dreams, I'll dream that I'm in my house, or I'll dream that I'm at my grandmother's house or a friend's house, but it never looks like it. I'll just know that I'm at home, even though it's not.
I know exactly
my
what you mean.
This dream was my house to a T. The phone was where it was, and I got up in the morning, went downstairs, getting ready for school, and the phone rings. It's my cousin telling me that my father had died. And then when I was 13, the exact thing happened. So I didn't dream his death. I dreamt being told about his death. After that, though, I have really never had, I mean, I've had like a couple dreams where I feel like somebody came and visited me, like an old, like a family member that had passed away.
Yeah.
But I've never had any.
Like precognition dreams.
No, I mean, there've been a couple times where there was a time that I'm pretty sure that we were going to get robbed. Like you could just feel it in the air, and we didn't because we turned around and went. So that, you know, what do you call it? Intuition snapped on where it was like, okay, this isn't safe. We have to go. It was some guy walking on the street and he was just seemed weird and you could tell something was up and he started to slow down and we started to slow down. And then we ran and hopped into a car real quick and drove away. And as soon as, then everything was fine. Nothing happened. Is that being psychic or is that just being aware of your surroundings? But as an adult,
you'll never know because you change your plan.
Yeah, I'd rather not. I'm glad that I don't. But it's as an adult, no, I don't think that I'm super observant. I always watch people. I'm a total people watcher, but I don't see anything, you know.
I mean, it's interesting because I do think, I mean, and I know it's almost a trope now. It's quite a common, you know, thing for people to say, but it does seem to be that there's a thing with teenage years, you know, growing up and a heightened sense of psychicness. Like I was saying earlier about me and psychometry, like taking people's jewelry and reading them stories from it and all that carry on. Like at its peak, that was when I was 16. And then there was a couple of occasions which were a bit weird and I didn't want to do it after that. And then when I tried it again, when I was about maybe 28, it didn't happen. And it none of it was there. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't exist. So I don't know. I'm similar to you. I'm Generation X. And I don't know whether there was something in the water back then, which made a lot of, because you're quite right as well, though. The interesting thing is, like you said earlier, similar with my group of friends that I hung around with as a teenager, if somebody came up to you and said, you're not psychic at the same time, you've got nothing about you. You didn't want to hear that. Do you know what I mean? You wanted somebody to come up to you and say, are you the Dark Lord himself? And you go, yes, yes, I am.
Well, there's a little part of me that still wants to, you know, call my friend's mom from many years ago and be like, I have so many shawls, you know?
Yeah, let's start a Fleetwood Mac tribute band.
Right, exactly. Well, you don't know what you're talking about, lady. But I don't know, I think maybe it's like you hear about in hauntings and poltergeists this so often that it's connected to teenagers or, you know, children going through puberty or whatever.
You do. So, have you got a daughter? Because a girl's just popped her head around the corner.
Yes, I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son, so...
Thank God for that. Thank God for that, because I was just about to cancel this meeting and run.
Run, go.
I don't have fight or flight. I have flight and flight faster. That's what I have. So
that's what I have now. That's the thing. You know, my poor husband, I love him so much. He would have been murdered and I would have been in the house wringing my hands and running around in a little circle. So.
Yeah. Well, Mandy, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you for the last near an hour or so now. And I'm exceptionally pleased that we've done this. So if you come across any more stories or anything else, you're a very good storyteller. So it'd be a pleasure to have you back on. So you just let me know if you come across anything that you want to talk about again.
Thank you. I really enjoy your podcast, both of them. I love the Dark Paranormal and We Need to Talk About Ghosts. It's a hoot. So.
Oh, thank you very much, Mandy. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure today to speak to you. And so stay in touch and let us know if you have any more encounters with small balls of lightning or any precognitive dreams.
Well, I hope not. I'll say that. It'd be lovely to talk to you again, but I'd like to keep it boring and dull.
So. Yeah, you stay safe. Let's keep you safe first and foremost, and then we'll get you back on the show.
Same with you, too. Watch out for the old lady with the lamb. So
I'm following that. Yeah.
That's,
It's yeah, our Patreons are all aware of my little photo. In a nutshell, very quickly, for those who aren't on Patreon, a ghost lady. Well, I'm calling her a ghost lady. I took a photo of a garden that she disappeared from the other week, put her on Patreon, just a picture of a garden. And then I managed to catch her this week. But I think real life ghost stories, Emma and Dan suggested that I go around and just knock and say, excuse me. And I'm not going to do that because, no, my luck, she'd answer the door and take me in and put me in a big cauldron and burn me. So maybe not. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, Mandy. And as I say, if you get anything else that you wanted to discuss paranormal-wise, you just let me know and we'll do this again.
All right. Well, have a good one. Thanks so much.
Speak to you soon, Mandy. Bye now.
All right, bye.
And there you go. That was my wonderful call with Mandy that I took through the week. Don't forget, if you want to come on the show just like Mandy did, email me, contact@talkaboutghost.com. And don't forget, if you can't get enough of this lovely, lovely paranormal show that we do together, then you can go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. There's also a link in the show notes of this episode if you just want to click on that. You can go over and find out what all the fuss is about. Yeah. Okay then, you wonderful, beautiful, dare I say sexy people. As Jeremy Springer said in the mid-90s, take care of yourselves and each other, and I will catch you next week. Tatty bye.